In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this Friday, I wanted to offer a brief meditation, and the first of several, which is intended to help us navigate this difficult period in which our ability to assemble together and worship is limited. There's a lot of understandable concern about decisions being made by bishops in many countries to curtail worship, to limit attendance at liturgies and other practices, such as veneration of icons and relics in the churches. And how does this relate to our understanding of what the church is and where the Lord is and our reception of the sacraments? Right off the bat, there are obvious questions about the sacraments themselves. Are they not sacred and life-giving and healing? And of course they are, but there is a whole separate conversation to be had about that. And I will circulate separately some written pieces that were recently put together on the subject. They're short ones, and they're worth reading and thinking about and praying about. But more broadly, I wanted to offer some brief thoughts on two topics. One is the presence of the Lord himself, particularly during this difficult time. And the second is fear and anxiety versus love and trust. And these topics are related. First, I want to underscore that, especially in this difficult time in which separation and isolation is enforced upon us, our absence from the physical church, as in the building that we so dearly love and associate with, and in the case of some folks, actually built and renovated, this does not diminish God's ability or desire to be with us. He's not locked up behind those doors. You might recall Jesus' admonishment of the scribes and the Pharisees that we find in Matthew chapter 23. He says, "Which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Not that the temple is not important, but rather that its significance and meaning and importance come from the presence of God alone." Jesus promised that he would be with us until the end of the age. God's assurances of his presence also, his many and myriad manifestations are scattered throughout the Old Testament and are attested to in the Holy Gospels. Theophanies, or manifestations of God's presence in the world, occur in many ways, and this in no way diminishes or desacralizes our faith, removing or demoting the Holy Sacraments. For these are specific and necessary ways the Lord has given us, sustained through the Holy Church, to receive the mercy and the grace and the healing of God, and to draw us ever more closely to Him. And yet, this does not mean, and it never means, that God forsakes His creation. The Church, in her institutional knowledge, her DNA, if you will, has known many pestilences, wars, famines, and natural disasters. Christians have worshipped, when necessary, in prison camps, in the catacombs, in secret, in their homes, or in the homes of others. Many holy monastics have built their lives of prayer and deep faith while receiving the sacraments very infrequently. And you can think about St. Mary of Egypt, for example, as the best example of that. As individual Christians, this begins with the sacred conversation between the human heart and the awesome God. We participate in the Divine Liturgy, which is offered on behalf of all and for all. We are still a community of Christians, the Ecclesia, and the liturgy is still offered not in private, but rather on behalf of all. We always pray for and remember in the liturgy those who are absent for good cause. And right now, there is good cause. And that physical absence does not mean that God is not with us, that the liturgy is not offered for us all, nor, critically, that our own prayers should not be offered from our homes and joined to those offered from the holy altar. So we have made the texts of the daily services available to the parish at large to facilitate these prayers. And this active prayer is absolutely essential. It's way more important than passively watching or listening to a celebration of the liturgy, though that can also be an aid to prayer and helps maintain a sense of connectedness. So let us take heart and trust that we will assemble again together in divine worship, and know that our daily prayers continue to be offered, and that the Lord is very much with us, most especially when things are most difficult, or we feel isolated, alone, or anxious. And that brings me to the second topic, fear, and its antidote and opposite, which are faith and love. In the readings prescribed for today's Vespers, we hear the following in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge." And this is wisdom that we need to hear. For fear, in the sense of acknowledging the authority and majesty of God, is where our attention is rightly directed. And when we do so, we find our place of refuge, our place of confidence, that cannot be diminished or torn down or destroyed by anything that the world throws at us. Flood, fire, the sword, foreign invasion, civil war, or plague. Instead of fear and anxiety, we seek, first, peace, which comes from God, and which rests ultimately in our trust of Him. And secondly, we as Christians are called to orient our lives and actions in love of God and of neighbor. And now, when faced with challenges, danger, and difficulty, we step up to the plate and we offer that love because that is our unique vocation as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. And that love of neighbor is manifested in good and worthy deeds. And that love and trust are bolstered by our vigilance in prayer and attentiveness to the Word of God, which takes us back to where we started. Let us continue to be diligent in our prayer and reading from Scripture, from our homes right now out of necessity, and to trust that this in no way diminishes the presence of God in our lives, that God is all-powerful and is truly with us, and that He is truly the God of all. So keep the faith. God bless you all.